W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Polls are opening in Georgia where it's election day. The AP's Ed Donahue reports.
Voters return to the polls in Georgia's Senate runoff. Raphael Warnock is the first black senator from Georgia. Either he or Republican challenger Herschel Walker will have the distinction of winning a full six-year term. Warnock led Walker by about 37,000 votes out of almost 4 million cast in November's general election. I'm Ed Donahue.
Drone attack. That's what the governor of Russia's Kursk region says caused a fire at an airport this morning. This is an area that borders Ukraine. The AP's Charles de Ledesma.
The fire occurs the day after Moscow blamed Kyiv for drone strikes on two air bases deep into Russia and launched another wave of missile strikes on Ukrainian territory. The region's governor says as a result of a drone attack, an oil reservoir near the airport has caught on fire and all emergency services are working on the spot. Ukrainian officials have not formally confirmed carrying out the hit.
Who and why? They still don't know who shot up two power substations in Moore County, North Carolina. Power's been out for days for thousands of residents who may have to wait days more to get it back. Duke Energy spokesman Jeff Brooks says they're working hard to try to get the heat and the lights back on.
Understand, though, that it's not as simple as changing a light bulb, as it were. Some of this equipment does take, you know, a significant amount of work, a significant amount of process that goes through putting into place safely, getting it in service. But we are working in parallel on many paths to make sure there is nothing that delays this return.
He was heard there on WTVD-TV in North Carolina. Cheers star Kirstie Alley has died. She was 71. Her children say it was cancer. A Memphis, Tennessee police officer has been shot and critically wounded. A suspect killed last night. No details. This is AP News.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, happy holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia 30328.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll
be woke
in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Thank you.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinier with your headlines. The Waukesha community came together Sunday for the annual Christmas parade, a little more than 1 year after the tragedy of 2021. This year's parade, themed Peace on Earth, began with the crowd singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The parade stepped off with a banner in remembrance of those who died last year, honoring the victims, survivors, families, and first responders. Hundreds of people lined the curbs and cheered as the dancing grannies led the parade through the route, also marching the Waukesha Blazers Baseball Club and the Catholic community of Waukesha. Both groups had multiple members among the injured, including 8-year-old Jackson Sparks, who later died. Parade-goers spoke of the need to show community support, honor those whose lives were lost, and celebrate the return of Waukesha's long-standing holiday tradition. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, December 6th. Another beautiful day up here on Lake Wissota, and it's nice to have you along. Coming up this morning, a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice sounds a warning about how conservatives are trying to allow state legislatures around the country to overrule their own state constitutions. What a mess that would make of things in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Georgia's holding its U.S. Senate election today, and it offers a reminder of the benefits of early voting and making voting more convenient to all qualified voters, and how Republicans might have really shot themselves in the foot on that issue because they had to change course just for one person. Also, there's a new report out on just how much outside election spending came into Wisconsin and flooded the airwaves over the past few months. And we also get a reminder that freedom to farm does not equal freedom to pollute everyone else's groundwater. So be careful with those mega corporate farms with something like 8,000 cows. That's not just a factory farm, that's a factory. And again, it doesn't take much to cause big problems. If you want to reach us, our email address is radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And we'd love to hear from you at 715-388-7155. We'll take your calls a little later on in the hour. And Aaron Zummers is in the producer chair this morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
I am probably still showing the signs of whatever this kind of sort of head cold thing is. And I mean, is there anything more annoying than knowing that you've got a little bit of something, but not enough for you to say, you know, to people, oh, I'm sick or I'm under the weather or what? It's just, you know, you're a couple of degrees off normal.
Yeah, and it's very annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not full blown sick, but you don't sound like yourself. You don't feel like yourself. Somewhere in the middle of the night, you know, my sinuses just said, you know, right about now, you're going to need a half a box of Kleenex. And then we're fine after that. But, you know, and we'll give you just enough of a little scratch that you're going to have to sip some coffee in the middle of a sentence and make the listeners go, is he there? Is he not there? But again, things could always be a lot worse. We were talking about flu shots the other day. My wife and I are very faithful about that, have been for 20 years, it feels like. But there are years where the flu shot does not, you know, match up properly. It's kind of a guessing game as far as what strain is going to be dominant. And some years they're off. And we were reminiscing, if that's the right word for it, that in both 2017 and 2018, the flu shots were not a good match. And so we both caught terrible, terrible cases of the flu and don't wish to repeat that. So we continue to be vaccinated, but, you know, still trying to recover from things. I am, however, looking forward to this weekend. There will be a Civic Media confab. I believe we're doing a full-blown holiday party, and I did not ask Aaron if you were going to be part of the festivities or not.
I will be part of the festivities. It sounds like it's going to be a fun time, you know, just staying at a hotel, going and seeing a comedy show. I think that's the main stuff.
No, I think that's going to be great because you've got, you know, people like me scattered, you know, around the state. Others are in, you know, the Waukesha area. Plus, we've added the stations in other parts of Wisconsin. So it'll be good to gather everybody together. So I'm trying to get better by then so that, you know, we don't want to turn the radio station into a petri dish, you know, because there's no backup plan. If Aaron goes down sick, there's no plan B. There's nobody ready to sitting in the station at, you know, 6:01 ready to help us do this. So well, we can need just to keep you.
We can just make Luke come in earlier and do even more.
I don't have an issue with that. I feel like he could always work a little bit harder. You know, not that he doesn't work hard. He's just young. He's young and strong and capable and really appreciates my saying that he's our first choice of sacrificial lamb if need be.
Yeah, definitely. Hey,
we have to wonder what happens with the Packers next, because while we were happy to talk about the win over the Bears on Monday, looking back at Sunday's game, we should have also noted that the Vikings won, and as a result, the Packers are now eliminated from any chance of postseason contention. It was a really long shot anyway, but now with the Packers eliminated, what do you do with Aaron Rodgers? You know, is he banged up enough to the point where you give him a bit more of a rest? He's going to say no. What are the coaches going to decide? What are they going to do? You know, will they let him back in now, but at the first sign of any trouble, they kind of set him out for the rest of the season. Now they got 2 weeks to figure it out because this is the bye week. So, you know, Rodgers has got plenty of time to heal. And then their next game is a Monday night football game, just under 2 weeks from now against the Los Angeles Rams. So we get 2 weeks of Aaron Rodgers speculation, which, you know, some people live for, others not so much. The Bucks were on the road in Florida last night. Giannis scored 5 of his 34 points in the final 2 minutes to help the Bucks hold off a late Orlando rally to win 109-102 over the Magic. Bobby Portis added 18 points and 10 rebounds for the Bucks. Drew Holiday added 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 10 assists. And so the Bucks travel back to Milwaukee, and they will host Sacramento tomorrow. And as we've mentioned before, the NCAA volleyball tournament's going on. And, oh, you know what? I don't have the full schedule in front of me because we haven't mentioned Marquette yet. I know the Badgers are playing Thursday, but let me get the full schedule on that, and we'll run down who's competing yet in the Sweet 16, which kicks off here in just a bit. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to find out what a former state Supreme Court justice said about an interesting theory that Republicans are pushing about legislatures trampling their state constitutions. This is Up North News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather in a moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 39 today under cloudy skies with a slight chance for scattered showers. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 29. High temperatures reach up to 40. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, we'll talk about one way to fight the power in just a minute here. First, a reminder, as you probably heard in the weather forecast, we are going to be above and below the freezing mark multiple times over the week. And so don't get too cocky out there on the roads. Things will seem wet for a time, and then they're going to get slick again, and then they're going to melt for a time. So please be careful out there. We want you to stay safe all the way through the holiday season here and, you know, not hurt anybody else in the process as well. All right, we have heard so much the past 2 years about something called CRT, critical race theory, this legal theory that's taught in law schools that conservatives say is actually being used to indoctrinate kindergartners and things like that. And as always with the right wing, it's about projection. If they're spouting off about some kind of a theory that's controversial and needs to be opposed, there's a chance that they're the ones about to do it, and they are the ones about to do it before the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow. A different kind of theory called ISL, the Independent State Legislature theory. I'm going to talk about that right after reminding you that the phone numbers are here in case you want to talk about this topic later in this segment or something else. 715-388-7155. And I've been horribly remiss to note that our main switchboard number that you can use for all of our shows also still works here on Up North News Radio. And that, of course, is 844-967-2789. All right. What is independent state legislature theory? Well, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear this theory, which I guess I would best describe as an authoritarian doctrine. It's one that says that a legislature doesn't have to abide by the state constitution or the will of the people, even though the legislature is elected by the people and is governed by the state constitution, to which members of the legislature take an oath. The only way that this theory would make any sense is through a laughably narrow and overtly literal reading of the Constitution, the part that says a legislature sets state election rules. And some people are taking that language to mean that, oh, so the legislature has all the power about elections, and nothing that is said in the Constitution or nothing that is said by their state Supreme Courts, none of that matters because the U.S. Constitution says state legislatures set up state elections. Well, that is to be so literal as to say, well, yeah, the legislature is charged with passing legislation, and so therefore, you know, the governor can't veto anything and the state Supreme Court can't overrule anything. It's a language of convenience, Aaron.
Yeah, I think my favorite part is with this language of convenience, choosing to focus in on one word and take it so literally. And yet we have things like gun rights where they choose to ignore the part about a well-regulated militia because it's more convenient.
Exactly. It's this cherry picking of language to what suits them. Now, again, we're in a different world. We are no longer in the world of, oh, that couldn't possibly happen. You know, a TV circus clown like Donald Trump could never be elected president until he was. Roe v. Wade could never be overturned until it was. We would never have an armed insurrection in this country and an attack on Congress until there was. So knowing what we know about the composition of the justices on the U.S. Supreme Court and on the Wisconsin Supreme Court right now, what would make anybody think that this couldn't happen as well, where the Supreme Court hears a case tomorrow and at some point makes the decision that in their reading of the U.S. Constitution, State legislatures are independent when it comes to setting up election laws. And if that were to be the case, it would allow a state legislature to essentially stage its own coup by setting severe restrictions on voting rights, or even saying that they have the power to determine who gets a state's electoral votes. It is that extreme, and thanks to what this court has done already, it is not unthinkable at all. Now, late last week on Wisconsin Public TV's Here and Now, the guest was Jeanine Geske, an extremely well-respected former justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court before she retired. And she was asked by host Frederica Freiberg a bit about independent state legislature theory and whether it's something that is, you know, realistic to expect, especially in a key state like Wisconsin. And she said in so many words, you bet your sweet Bippy. Here's what she had to say.
The Republican-led legislature has been doing a lot of work on elections and changing voting rules. And, you know, but fortunately, there's always that reviewability at the court. And in some cases, even though, you know, we have a court that's divided, some cases have reversed some of the things the legislature has done, and some of have affirmed it. But not to have that reviewability would give the more power to the legislature. And I have no doubt that they would take it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt whatsoever. So she was then asked about, you know, the composition of the court. And I think it's interesting that there is a difference of opinion as far as who is the swing judge in this. It seems fairly clear from past cases and past legal arguments and just all sorts of characteristics about these folks that Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Neil Gorsuch would pull the pin on this grenade in a heartbeat. What's not as clear is John Roberts, the Chief Justice, is he the swing vote, or is he likely to go along with this? And Amy Coney Barrett turns out to be the swing justice in this. I mean, either way, there's no way to say that this can't happen, because we don't know with any certainty what Amy Coney Barrett and Chief Justice John Roberts would say. But we know what the argument would be. And the argument would be about this attack on checks and balances. And here's what former Justice Jeanine Geske said about that.
In our state, we elect an independent judiciary to be a check and balance on our governor and on the legislature. It would take that check and balance away. And the only attack would be through a federal court if a federal court would take it. So it really does take that independent review by the state, consistent with the state constitution, of whether this was a lawful gerrymandered or whether it's a lawful rule. And I think we've seen how important that is over the last several elections, where people are arguing about whether elections are valid or invalid and how you count votes and things. And I think not to have reviewability in the state is very dangerous.
And that is putting it mildly, because that's exactly what you're doing, is you're removing reviewability, you're removing checks and balances, which is truly the foundation of our government, along with the Constitution. And you already have Donald Trump saying that the Constitution should be terminated to reinstall him as president. And by the way, I noticed this morning, apparently he's backtracking and says he never said that. He had a post on his tiny social media network typed out with his tiny hands that says he did not say that. Why would anybody think that? It's in writing. It's in writing.
It's right there. Like you can look at it.
It's like, honestly, it's like marking a hurricane map with a Sharpie and saying, I didn't do that. I don't know where that came from. I mean, you have to have such, I don't know, a disconnect and such a lack of faith in one man to believe that you know, oh yeah, he's just being, you know, misinterpreted. No, he said what he said. So they're either trashing the Constitution or coddling somebody who is, or in this case, they're cherry picking it. Now, the petitioners in this particular case, which comes, by the way, out of North Carolina, it was the North Carolina State Supreme Court that ruled that their legislature, known as the General Assembly, had drawn maps that were so ridiculously gerrymandered as to not be legal. And now there are people claiming that, well, the state Supreme Court doesn't have the standing to call something unconstitutional by the legislature when it comes to election law, because the Constitution says that elections are set up by the legislature and that they can't be second-guessed by state courts. But, and I'm reading this from a Vox article now about it, even if you accept the strongest version of independent state legislature theory, that is, even if you believe that the legislature has unchecked authority to decide how congressional districts are drawn, the people bringing the case should still lose it, because it was the legislature that passed a law that explicitly authorizes state courts to hear lawsuits about redistricting. So you want to say that the legislature is so independent that the state Supreme Court can't tell it what to do about election law. But in this case, the legislature wrote election law to specifically say that state courts can hear lawsuits about redistricting. So in this particular case, which is specifically about these North Carolina maps, there is no sane interpretation of the law that would accept a ruling that independent state legislature theory is real and applies to it. And again, in any other case, we would say this is going to get laughed out. But the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court accepted this case, is going to hear it tomorrow, and then reach some kind of a decision, again, based on what this court has done already, should absolutely concern everybody, because it would be such a full frontal attack on democracy. And if you don't believe me, just look at the Wisconsin legislature and our Wisconsin congressional delegation, for that matter. I mean, there are a couple of members of the congressional delegation who were longtime members of the state legislature. There was Scott Fitzgerald, who was the state Senate majority leader for a long time. Now he's in Congress. But during that time, he facilitated the meeting of fake electors who were part of Trump's plot to overturn the election. You have Tom Tiffany, who'd been in the legislature prior to Congress, who signed on to a lawsuit out of Texas supporting the effort to overturn Wisconsin's presidential votes. I can't say that nearly enough, that Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald would have been perfectly okay if Congress had thrown out every Wisconsin voter's vote in the 2020 presidential election. You know, at Up North News, we did an editorial about that, saying that Tiffany should resign or be expelled from Congress for what was essentially treasonous behavior. And yet now he is in Congress watching a Supreme Court that could be on the verge of giving that legislature unchecked power to stage their own coup on a state-by-state basis. We'll take a break and be back with more. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and...
Coronavirus update. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Pfizer is asking the Food and Drug Administration to clear its updated version of the COVID-19 vaccine for children under the age of five. The AP's Jennifer King.
Currently, children between 6 months and up to 5 years who get Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine are supposed to receive three extra small doses. In mid-October, the FDA cleared updated vaccines from both Pfizer and Moderna as boosters for everyone five and older. Now, Pfizer is asking U.S. regulators to authorize their updated bivalent version for those younger kids. Targeting the original strain and BA4 and BA5 Omicron variants, it would become the third shot in the series. The company says it may help keep youngsters out of children's hospitals that are already packed with patients suffering other respiratory illnesses. Vaccine uptake is still an issue. The CDC reports that just 2% of kids under 2 and about 4% of 2 to 4-year-olds have gotten their primary doses so far. Jennifer King, Washington.
And
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, happy holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia 30328.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
(844) 967-2789 or 715-388-7155 are the phone numbers here. Over at upnorthnewswi.com, our main website for Up North News, we've got a couple of holiday features that are going up, including one about the biggest snowstorms in Wisconsin history. Also, 12 Wisconsin ornaments to hang on your tree this year. There's a couple of Wisconsin quizzes. And then there's the story that I put up yesterday based on the interview you heard here yesterday with Paul Hamilton out of St. Croix County, about how conservatives there want the county to reaffirm their constitutional oath, but, you know, just the part about the guns. It's all part of a political system in this country that, again, has been put so out of whack because of the amount of influence we've given to big dollar donations. It's something that's been in the works for about 50 years now and has built to the point where, once again, there was a record amount of spending by outside groups in Wisconsin in the 2022 elections. Now, we noted at Up North News at least a year ago, I think, about one of the outside groups, one of the first outside groups that was spending money, you know, against Senator Ron Johnson to educate people about his record and what he says and does. And so in this particular case, it was, you know, the first major outside spending came from the left. But of course, there was no shortage of cash coming from the right side of the spectrum as well. And so a report was issued yesterday by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, noting that spending by special interest groups for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and treasurer shattered the old record by 50%. The old record was about $62 million 4 years ago for the midterm fall races. This year, $93 million spent in Wisconsin by outside groups. That spending was 154% higher than in 2014, and nearly five times higher than what was spent on 2010. I mean, if you just look at a chart, it's exponential when you look at how much the outside spending has grown. And again, those are the statewide races for state offices. It doesn't include, that's a different pot of money altogether. Now, of that $92 million that came in from outside on the main state races, as you can imagine, about $80 million of it, the vast majority of it, was spent on the governor's race. And there were six dozen different special interest groups that spent money in the state to either praise candidates or smear them. Let's see, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign report says that to benefit Republicans, 35 different groups spent about $48 million. And to benefit Democrats, 36 groups spent about $44 million. So, roughly the same number of groups and almost the same dollar amount in each case, a little bit more dollars spent by Republican groups. Now, the way that outside groups spend this is either by what's called express advocacy, where they say vote for or vote against somebody. And that part you understand, vote for this person, vote against this person. It's very clear. But the other category are these things called issue ads. And they are as phony as a $3 bill. And I was a TV reporter in 1996, I believe it was, when the decision was made that, you know, issue ad spending couldn't be regulated, that as long as they don't use the magic words vote for or vote against somebody, then they were just talking about an issue. These are the ones that say, call Governor Evers and tell him, or call State Senator so-and-so and tell her. You know, it doesn't say vote for, vote against. It's usually call somebody and tell them. Tell me that's not a campaign ad, because I won't believe you. You know, but those are called issue ads, and you know, the spending comes in pretty heavy on that. Express advocacy groups must report their spending to the state. The phony issue ad groups, which can raise and spend unlimited amounts of money on elections, do not have to report their spending because of those past federal court decisions and really weak campaign finance laws. These are the groups that smear or praise candidates, but without explicitly telling voters who to vote for or against. They'll just say something like, Mandela Barnes, he's different. Top spending groups included the Democratic Governors Association, which spent $20 million. The Republican Governors Association spent $15 million. I will admit to being very encouraged, shall I say, to see that the DGA spent $20 million and the RGA $15 million. why am I happy that an outside Democratic group spent 33% more than the Republicans? Because why should anybody unilaterally disarm? I mean, this is the rule book that we have right now. And I, of course, remember 2010 very well. And the RGA, the Republican Governors Association, man, they came in so hard on Tom Barrett and in helping Scott Walker back then. I mean, those RGA ads were everywhere. They all centered around this bartender guy. And you know, who can you trust if you can't trust a Wisconsin bartender? Talking all about, you know, Tom Barrett being too extreme or whatever the case may be. So for the DGA to take Wisconsin seriously and come in on behalf of Tony Evers and to, you know, go on the attack against Tim Michaels, again, at least it underscores for all of the, you know, caterwauling that I and others do about national Democrats and whether they take Wisconsin seriously enough, at least in this case, they did. There was another progressive group, A Better Wisconsin Together, that spent just about $7 million in express advocacy, as well as issue ads. They spent money on television and digital advertising in 23 different legislative races to support Democratic candidates, as well as supporting Evers and Democratic Attorney General Josh Call. You had the right-wing group, Americans for Prosperity, that spent $6.5 million. And theirs were on several different electioneering activities, canvassing, mailings, door hangers, digital ads, radio ads, to support Tim Michaels, to support one of the attorney general candidates, Adam Jarko, who got defeated in the primary, and Republicans in 19 different legislative races. And then there's our friends at the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, the big business group that is essentially the shadow Republican Party of Wisconsin, which spent $4.5 million using both issue ads and express advocacy communications. Most of their issue ad spending was for TV ads that backed Republicans and smeared Democrats in the governor's race and in two legislative races. The governor's race ads attacked Evers on education and crime and tax issues. They blamed Evers for inflation because, yeah, Tony Evers was responsible for a global economic phenomenon. Earlier in the year, WMC spent $25,000 in digital ads to support Rebecca Clefish in the Republican primary. And Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which you will find at wisdc.org. Again, wisdc for WisconsinDemocracyCampaign.org. It's the top article on their website, as you can imagine right now, and has a very lengthy table that lists all of these various groups. Here's one called Wisconsin Rhino Hunters. And then there's others that Wisconsin Alliance for Reform. Okay, I follow politics very closely. I don't know which group that is. Wisconsin Alliance for Reform. Are they from the left or are they from the right? Don't know. Badger Values PAC, Jobs First Coalition Political Fund. Let's see. I know For Our Future is from the progressive side, but only, again, because I follow this kind of stuff. I wouldn't know otherwise. Let's see. I've heard of the Lincoln Project. I know that one. Here's an interesting one. Speak Free or Die. Make Liberty Win. The New Prosperity Foundation. And in all of these, it doesn't say in this particular chart if they come primarily from the left or right. And so even in this report about outside spending, it's tough for somebody to know, you know, who are these people? Who are they? Where are they based? Because they're all outside groups, even if they, you know, have Wisconsin in their name, they're bringing in money from out of state. It is so indicative of a process that is broken, just not working for anybody. And yet we're not going to be able to fix that until we have a Supreme Court that will take this seriously and a Congress that will take this seriously. So you have to do two things at once. You have to advocate for reform. You have to back those who say they will work for reform, but they can't get elected to reform under these rules unless you step up and help them get elected with the rules that we have right now. Let's see, I have to change the name of this. John Stewart famously referred to something called, he called it BS Mountain, and you know what the BS stands for. I'm going to call it Manure Mountain, shall we? Because all of this political spending and all of the gamesmanship and turning electoral politics into sports really is a big pile of manure. But as John Stewart notes, and as I've noted at the state level, you know, everybody hates climbing up Manure Mountain. But if you get to the top of Manure Mountain, the view isn't so bad. And then it's less incumbent upon you to want to tear that mountain down because you're up there at the top. So it's going to take somebody, it's going to take multiple people who are serious about getting to the top of Manure Mountain and then saying, let's blow this thing up. Now, if you're laughing, chuckling, if you're cynical, you're saying that'll never happen. That's why I don't like to get involved in this kind of stuff. All I can say is then that's what you're going to be stuck with. The only way to make any change in a game that's rigged is to get in the game and work your heart out to win it and then change the rules. There's virtually no other way short of blowing up the whole system, which I know some people would say, well, how bad is that? Well, as we learned on January 6th, it can be really bad, and we should not be advocating for something like that. We need people. It just makes me laugh, taking me back to my legislative days when I and one of freshmen advocated that we wanted to run in 2010 on a reform platform. We wanted to advocate for nonpartisan redistricting. And we were told by a certain senior member at the time, no, we're going to win in 2010, and then we're going to redistrict. Well, that didn't work out so well, did it? Republicans won, and they redistricted in a way that, you know, thanks to a political state Supreme Court and a political U.S. Supreme Court, they were able to lock in those rigged maps. They were able to continue loosening the rules on corporate spending and building up their advantages. The only way to overcome that is to continue to communicate with voters, those who either are not necessarily plugged into these issues, even more importantly, those who are but tend to lean Republican, and have them come to understand how this system is no longer working for them, and that the people they've been voting for have never really had their best interest at heart. It's part of why people are getting so worked up about what Trump said about terminating the Constitution, because you know what that means. A few more people who voted for Trump are now saying, you know, that's stupid, and I'm done with this guy. And that's how you do this. You keep building it a little bit at a time, like I hope we did in this segment just now. Take a break. Time for This Day in History. Some music, all coming up after the break. This is Up North News Radio.
You are terminated.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 39. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 29. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. A dusting of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Just let this play. You should turn your radio up right now. I don't care how much coffee you have or wish you had. Just go ahead and turn the radio up for a few seconds. I'll be here when you get back. On this day in music history, this day in 1969, Whole Lotta Love gave Led Zeppelin their first hit on the U.S. singles chart. Whole Lotta Love topped out at number 4. Now we go Crazy Soft and Crazy Loud. Let's start with Crazy Soft. On this day in 1975, Paul Simon rose to number one on the album chart with Still Crazy After All These Years, his first number one solo album after the Simon and Garfunkel breakup.
And we talked about some old times and we drank ourselves some beers. Still crazy after all these years. Oh, still crazy.
Well, that's one way to be crazy is, you know, nice and mellow with just a little Hammond keyboard there. Or you could go Ozzy Osbourne crazy like this. This would have been the 66th birthday for Randy Rhoads, guitarist with Ozzy Osbourne. Sadly, he died at the age of 26 in a plane crash 40 years ago in 1982. But Randy Rhoads helped write that song Crazy Train for Ozzy Osbourne, and he was born on this day in 1956. A little later, we will hear Take Five from Dave Brubeck, who was born on this day in 1920. He died one day before his 92nd birthday when he died 10 years ago. Also on this day in history, Congress moved from New York to Philadelphia on December 6, 1790. And the Congress held their meetings in Philly for 10 years until 1800 when the District of Columbia was ready to serve as the nation's capital. On this day in 1917, Finland became an independent country, declaring its independence from Russia, at least for now, Vladimir Putin says. And on this day in 1999, if you're of a certain age, you remember this was a milestone date because it's when the Recording Industry Association sued Napster, the file sharing service, because of the way that people were using the internet, which was fairly new to most of us at the time, and had discovered how to share song files with one another so that we didn't have to go to the record store and buy records. Well, eventually, the RIAA was able to be victorious. Napster eventually went away. At that point, digital music had already taken off through things like iTunes and whatnot. On this day in 2008, Beyonce hit number one on the U.S. album chart with her third studio album, I Am Sasha Fierce. This is Halo. It continued to trend from her first two releases, which also went to number one on the U.S. album chart. And there is one birthday of note today. Little fella, nice young man named Giannis Antetokounmpo. He is 28 years old today, so hopefully he'll get a few birthday song serenades tomorrow when he plays against Sacramento.
I will say little is probably not the word most people would use.
But. No. Nice little, you know, he was at one point until he was, what,
probably.
Maybe 5 years
old. He probably was.
I will say about Giannis, and again, I always say I'm not, you know, the world's biggest NBA fan. Nothing against it. I just don't watch it regularly. And I stumbled upon that first Sports Illustrated cover story about Giannis. Oh my gosh, was that 10 years ago now? And it was in a Sports Illustrated that was sitting in my barbershop. I've been going to the same barbershop for 25 years now. And it's funny, the barber and I, we joke about, you know, we both had little kids at the time, and now, you know, we both have grandkids and both talking about retirement. And I still have the same haircut as I did back then. It's just, you know, the hair is not as dark as it used to be. Anyway, it was there waiting for a haircut one day that I saw somebody in a Milwaukee Bucks uniform on the cover, which seemed really odd given that the Milwaukee Bucks hadn't amounted to a hill of beans in a long time. And I went through that whole, I couldn't put it down. It was such a good article about, again, I'm old enough now that I can use this term, such a nice young man, just a good guy. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I still probably won't watch a lot of basketball, but I like this guy. I'm going to, you know, kind of personally root for him. And I mean, look how far he's come in all these years. And all these years, he's still just 28 years old. And, you know, still has the world on a string, but it didn't happen by accident. It was through all kinds of hard work that enabled him to do that. And so I, again, really want to just tip my cap to Giannis and wish him a happy birthday and wish the team well.
Yeah, I saw when I was looking for these things and I saw, or looking for the history for today, and I saw that it was his birthday, and I saw the year, I'm like, he's younger than my older sister, mm-hmm. which is very weird to me.
There is always this rite of passage that they don't tell you about in growing up. You know, they tell you about, oh, you're going to have to shave or your voice changes or whatever. They don't tell you about the part where at some point you look at somebody you admire on a sports team and realize you're now older than them. You always used to be younger than your favorite sports players, and pretty soon they're younger than you. And I'll tell you what, pretty soon comes the time where you go, wait a minute. They're the same age as my kids. Why aren't my kids making tens of millions of dollars in professional sports? And then I remember I had absolutely no desire to take my kids from tournament to tournament and use up every waking moment of the weekends. But some people did. And that's how they got those athletes who seem to be getting younger all the time. It is weird to scroll through, like you said, when we look through the history sections, and I'm used to looking at birthdays of people born, you know, baby boomers, 40s, 50s, and then you got me in the 60s. Now I'm reading, you know, Giannis, 1994, for goodness sakes. That to me is borderline insane. But again, you know, the world keeps spinning, and we just have to admire the gifts that were given along the way. Hey, quick reminder, day after tomorrow, Thursday morning at 7:30, our friend Dr. Kristen Lyerly will begin a weekly health segment. Not so much about, you know, I've got an itch that won't go away, but more about the healthcare system, because it's complex. And there are a lot of public health issues about clean water, like we're going to talk about in our next hour, you know, with mega farms. And all sorts of other things that, you know, Kristen wants to talk about on a weekly basis, especially those areas where your healthcare is affected by the decisions that politicians make. And so if you have questions or topic ideas, we want you to send them to us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or give us a call on Thursday, again, at 715-388-7155. And our question of the week on the Up North News Facebook page says, do you think Donald Trump will still become the 2024 Republican nominee despite his past, shall we say, missteps? We're going to talk to folks out of Polk County about some shenanigans by the Republican Party there next on Up North News Radio.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.